Whoever is not against us is for us. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Be seated, please. As we continue to move through the book of Mark, the disciples have been confused about the teachings from Jesus. You've heard me say this before. I'm just going to recap for you. They're arguing last week about who was greater. They've been concerned about the fact that Jesus is talking about dying. They don't necessarily understand what's going to happen or how Jesus is planning to rule without power and authority, but yet intent on helping the lowly, the poor, and the forgotten. We've seen in the last few weeks, they can't seem to grasp the message. Last week, Jesus took a child, focused the disciples' attention, and said, "How you treat this child is how you treat me. What you think of this child is what you think of God. What you do to the least of these, you do to me. Whoever welcomes one such child welcomes not me, but the one who sent me." We heard that last week. So what's their response this week? They stop a man healing in Jesus' name because he was unaffiliated with them. They prove in that moment what they think of God. And it isn't what Jesus is teaching them. In their own confusion, they see the man as a stumbling block to their ministry, when in fact, perhaps they are their own stumbling block. This is a great moment to look at a little bit deeper. The disciples point out a man casting out demons in Jesus' name and say he can't do that. Because this man is not following this select group, their select group, the group that was recently arguing along the road which one of them was greater, the group that keeps questioning the teachings of their rabbi. This small, tight-knit band of followers said, "This man cannot do that. He can't cast out demons because he's not one of them. The disciples don't want him doing what he's doing. Nope, he's not one of us. He can't be allowed to cast out demons. That's our job and only our job." And Jesus says, "Do not stop him." Jesus isn't worried about that person over there working in the name of Jesus. Whoever is not against us is for us. In essence, he's saying, forget about him. He's not the problem. And even when the disciples are eager to bring judgment upon the man casting out the demons, Jesus wants the disciples to pay attention to their own behavior instead. In fact, Jesus immediately turns the tables on the disciples, warning them that they are the ones in danger of doing harm. It's as though Jesus says, the problem is not the folks outside our group working in my name. Don't worry about others. They're not the issue. Rather, look at yourselves. How are you getting in the way of the gospel? How are you a stumbling block? And Jesus gets pretty graphic this morning. If you put a stumbling block before one of these little ones, you'd be better off to put a millstone around your neck and throw yourself into the sea. And anyone not familiar with the size and girth of a millstone? Picture a manhole cover, or perhaps a truck tire made entirely of stone around your neck as you jump into the water. And he's not done with the visuals there. Jesus goes on, if your hand or foot cause you to stumble, cut them off, because you'd be better off without them. Oh, and while you're at it, look at your eye too. And if that's causing you to stumble, well, tear it out. Poke it out, if you will. Those are some pretty graphic suggestions this morning. I don't know. I've spent all week trying to find this commercial on TV where the girl says it's going to cost you one of these and one of these. And she holds up an arm and a leg. Anybody know that commercial? I couldn't find what it was on the internet. The internet failed me this week. But she said it's going to cost you one of these and one of these. Right? It's a humorous representation of a situation that's going to cost a lot to acquire. And in today's gospel, we have that same kind of situation. Jesus says to his disciples, if you have any parts of you that are causing you to stumble, get rid of them. If anything in you is causing you to fall short of the glory of God, get rid of it. In reality, does he really want people to maim themselves? No, of course not. Again, he's using these stories and the situations to prove a point. Through the images of body parts, Jesus makes it clear that stumbling blocks are not always other people or other situations. They're part of us sometimes. And the stumbling blocks might be ways of thinking that we've had for a long time. They might be events that we're used to occurring. They might be practices that we've always done. It might be that old saying, that's the way we've always done it, so we're going to continue to do it that way, even though sometimes that's not always the right way or the best way, perhaps. Perhaps it's our own pet causes that we take on that perhaps aren't good enough for the group, but yet we can't get them out of our sight. And the violence of Jesus' hyperbole this morning is inescapable. He uses an over-the-top, bolded in all caps way of talking, if you will. If he were sending his message out over the internet or through social media, it would be bolded and in all caps. Tear it out. Get rid of it. We're likely to think there's nothing worse than losing a hand, a foot, or an eye, but Jesus says there is something worse. It's the consequences of causing another to stumble that are far worse than self-maiming. And we struggle with really hearing this message this morning. It's hard to hear him say these things, just as the disciples had trouble then. We know he doesn't want us to chop off our hands or our feet or drown with something heavy over our neck. He's using the hyperbole, as I said earlier, but like we use hyperbole, Jesus is trying to get us to take this idea as deadly serious. Don't mess with the weak. Don't mess with the children. Don't mess with the poor, the immigrant, the refugee, the widowed, the orphaned, the imprisoned. All these people are Jesus' people. These are the people of the kingdom. If you get in their way to finding the kingdom, then you yourself are the stumbling block. Jesus tells stories so that they will come to believe. Again, he's trying to get the disciples to see things his way instead of their way. And Jesus shows examples so that they will understand that this isn't an intellectual exercise. It's not memorizing scripture passages or talking about church history. It's living out our faith and sharing faith with one another. And it's not about being a member of the immediate inner circle. It's gathering as equals, as co-creators of a new world. It's not about the us and the them. Right? It's coming into a common space to share at a common table. It is exercising the radical equality of God, embracing the dream of God, and respecting the creation of God. There's a lot of conversation in these last few days going on about the proceedings from this past week. And let's face it, the news in general surrounding our political climate and the state of our nation is causing a very divisive environment between people. I'm not here to ask, which side are you on? I'm not here to ask who's right or who's wrong. I'm here to pose the question, what if we were able to look at ourselves as the stumbling block? What if we were to do as Jesus asks and really look at ourselves and evaluate whether or not we're keeping someone else from the kingdom? Are our actions, our decisions, our treatment of others blocking the way for ourselves or others? And what stumbling blocks do we put in the way? What stumbling blocks do Christians put up that hurt the cause of the gospel in the world? In a Facebook conversation yesterday with a friend, I had this exchange. He posted first, just a post on there, nothing in particular to me. He wrote, "At some point, people have to choose civility and kindness. When that will happen, I don't know. With all the disasters we face these days, you'd think people would see." And it prompted this response from me back to him. It's the inability of people to step outside of themselves that always bothers me the most. If we could see the world through someone else's eyes, it would be a totally different perspective. When your life's circumstances are changed by a force bigger than your own decisions, your whole world is turned upside down. And that changes the game and the view. In other words, we get so caught up in ourselves that we refuse to see the other person, the other hurt, the other side of our actions. In the Good News in the Garden State, it's a weekly newsletter that comes out through social media from the Diocese of New Jersey. It's weekly. Get it in your email. Bishop Stokes wrote something this week that touched me, and I want to share it with you. He reminds us of our core belief. He writes, "According to the Book of Common Prayer, the mission of the Church is to restore all people to unity with God and one another in Christ." That's the Book of Common Prayer, page 855, in case you're wondering. He goes on, "It is the ministry of reconciliation. In truth, this is not the Church's mission. It's God's mission. God in Christ commands us to take part in it." He quotes from Matthew, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the greatest and first commandment," Jesus said to his disciples and says to us. "And the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets." And he says, Jesus also said, "Love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you." And he ends his column with these words that I find perhaps the most, these speak to the core of who I am. He writes, "Love, the insistent, persistent message of love, that is our vocation as Christians. It has power to transform everything." So, in closing, let us lose those stumbling blocks and throw them into the sea. Cut them off and be done with them. Let them no more be stumbling blocks for us, so that we may pave the way for others to see God's love in us. Let us share generously, hopefully, and with all of Jesus' love here and around God's table, that we might embody God's great fellowship of faith. Let us go forth out from here and live a life full of the love of God, the life promised, the life of God's dreams, the life of faith. And let us remember, whoever is not against us is for us. Amen.